Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host.
You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, sovereign over everything, Prince of Peace, mighty Counselor, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is the healing of a lame man, part 2. My scripture comes from Acts 3, 1 through 10. My text is Acts 3, 6, which states, "Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." When Peter said, "Look on us," the lame man's expectations were raised. Peter, instead of turning his eyes from him, as many do from objects of charity, turned their eyes to him. Yes, he fastened his eyes upon him, that his eye might affect his heart with compassion towards him. John did so too, for they were both guided by one and the same Spirit, and concurred in this miracle, that they said, "Look on us." One eye, our eye must be ever towards the Lord, the eye of our mind, and in token of this, the eye of the body may properly be fixed on those whom he employs as the ministers of his grace. This man needed not to be bidden twice to look on the apostles, for he justly thought this gave him cause to expect that he should receive something from them, and therefore he gave heed to them. We must come to God both to attend on his word and to apply ourselves to him in prayer, with hearts fixed and expectations raised. We must look up to heaven and expect to receive benefit by that which God speaks thence, and an answer of peace to the prayer sent up. "I will direct my prayers unto thee, and will look up." His expectation of an alms was disappointed. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but therefore none to give thee." Yet he announced that if he had had any, he would have given him an alms, not brass, but silver or gold. It is not often that Christ's friends and favorites have abundance of the wealth of this world. The apostles were very poor, had but just enough for themselves and no overplus. Peter and John had abundance of money laid at their feet, but this was appropriated to the maintenance of the poor of the church, and they would not convert any of it to their own use, nor dispose of it otherwise than according to the intentions of the donors. Public trust ought to be strictly and faithfully observed. Many who are well inclined to works of charity are yet not in a capacity of doing anything considerable, while others who have the ability to do much have not a heart to do anything. His expectations, notwithstanding, were quite outdone. Peter had not money to give him, but he had that which was better, such an interest in heaven, such a power from heaven, as to be able to cure his disease. Those who are poor in the world may yet be rich, very rich, in spiritual gifts, graces, and comforts. Certainly there is that which we are capable of possessing, which is infinitely better than silver and gold. The merchandise and gain of it are better. He gave him that which was better than the cure of his disease, which he would gladly had given a great deal of silver and money for if he had had it, and the cure could have been so obtained. This would enable him to work for his living. And so he would not need to beg anymore. Yes, he would have to give to those that need it. And it is more blessed to give than to receive. A miraculous cure will be a greater instance of God's favor and will put a greater honor upon him than thousands of silver and gold could. When Peter had no silver and gold to give, yet says he, such as I have, I give thee. Those may be and ought to be otherwise charitable and helpful to the poor who have not money to give in charity. Those who have not silver and gold have their limbs and senses, and with these may be serviceable to the blind and lame and sick. As everyone hath received the gift, so let him minister it. Let us now see how the cure was formed. Christ sent his word and healed him. To heal in the name of Jesus was to invoke his power and presence. For healing grace is given to the work of Christ, to the word of Christ. This is the vehicle of the healing virtue derived from Christ. Christ spoke cures by himself. The apostle spoke them in his name. Peter bids a lame man, rise up and walk, which would have been a tease upon him if he had not set forth beforehand in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I say it by authorization from him, and it shall be done by power from him, and all the glory and praise of it shall be ascribed to him. Give him what name you will. Call him if you will, Jesus of Nazareth. In that name you shall see wonders done. For because he humbled himself, thus highly was he exalted. He bids the cripple rise up and walk, which does not prove that he had power in himself to do it, but that if he attempt to rise and walk, and in a sense of his own lack of power, dependent upon the divine power to enable him to do it, he shall be enabled. And by rising and walking, he must evidence what that power has formed upon him. And then let him take the comfort and let God have the praise. Thus it is in the healing of our souls, which are spiritually lacking the power. Peter lent his hand and helped him. He took him by the right hand in the same name in which he had spoken to him to rise and walk, and lifted him up. Not that this could contribute anything to his cure, but it was a sign plainly announcing the help he should receive from God if he exerted himself as he had been bidden. When God by his word commands us to rise and walk in the way of his commandments, if we mix faith with that word and lay our souls under the power of it, he will give his spirit to take us by the hand and lift us up. If we set ourselves to do what we can, God has promised his grace to enable us to do what we cannot. But by that promise, we partake of a new nature, and that grace shall not be in vain. His feet and ankle bones receive strength, which they had not done if he had not attempted to rise. And then leaped up, he does his part. And being helped up, he does his part. And Peter does his. And yet, it is in Christ that does all. It is he that puts strength into him. As the bread was multiplied in the breaking, and the water turned into wine in the pouring out, so strength was given to the crippled feet in his stirring them and using them. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good day and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is Today Matters. In the book, Today's Matters by John Maxwell, the author talks about 12 daily commitments that can help us live a better life. Maxwell says that everyone has the power to impact the outcome of their life by focusing on today. Today is the only time you have. It's too late for yesterday, and you can't depend on tomorrow. My hope is that this daily commitment list will be helpful to our radio listeners. First, just for today, I will choose and display the right attitudes. Second, just for today, I will determine and act on important priorities. Third, just for today, I will know and follow healthy guidelines. Fourth, just for today, I will communicate with and care for my family. Fifth, just for today, I will practice and develop good thinking. Sixth, just for today, I will make and keep proper commitments. Seventh, just for today, I will earn and properly manage my finances. Eighth, just for today, I will deepen and live out my faith. Ninth, just for today, I will initiate and invest in solid relationships. 10th, just for today, I will plan for and model generosity. 11th, just for today, I will embrace and practice good values. And last, just for today, I will seek and experience improvements. Today mattered to David in Psalm 118:24, as David sang, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Later he wrote, "Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts." David was aware of the significance of today. He worked to see the value of each day, and he helped others to do the same. Today mattered to Esther in Esther 4:13, as Esther longed to sit still and do nothing, but Mordecai wouldn't let her. The fate of God's people hung in the balance. Mordecai shocked her when he said, "Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" He pushed Esther to seize the day, and she did. Today mattered to Paul in 1 Corinthians 9 and Philippians 3, where Paul compared life to a race. He threw off any weight that would entangle him or slow him down. He made the most of his pursuit of the prize. We all know that runners don't wander, but head straight for the finish line. And finally, today mattered to Jesus in Matthew 6:34. In the Sermon on the Mount, he tells us to seek first his kingdom, and all the other needs will be added to us. Following that challenge, he reminds us not to worry about tomorrow, for each day has enough troubles of its own. Just focus on today and remember, all have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. But the good news is that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus, who died, was buried, and arose, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So for the unsaved, it's the right time for you to believe the good news. Repent and accept Christ by faith as your Lord and Savior. For the saved, it's the right time for you to continue to pray, trust and obey his word, and take purposeful action for his glory. Stay encouraged, my friends. Keep looking up and realize that today matters. Shalom.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.